com. Let's go out to the McLaren Health Plan phone line. A report late last week was released from the National. Deborah Herzman, she's on the other end of our line. Deborah, how are you?
Hi, I'm good this morning. Thank you.
Well, Keystone Cops, we think of fun and comedy and a comedy of errors, but we don't like to hear that when we think about anything that's carrying oil and oil spills.
And that's right. There was actually nothing funny about what happened with Enbridge. And I think what we saw in our investigation, that both before, during, and after, Enbridge did not handle the spill well. And in fact, when the spill occurred, they didn't recognize it for 17 hours. And only when someone else from another company called them and told them there was oil on the ground, they went through three shifts of employees in their control room. None of them recognized what was going on, took action to stop it and mitigate the damage. And in fact, they restarted the pipeline two times and were about to restart it for a third. And it really was just very frustrating to see a lot of people trying to figure something out, but nobody getting it right.
Deborah, where did Enbridge go wrong?
Well, I think the first area where we had concerns is we've investigated accidents that occurred in Enbridge lines before. They had a big one in Grand Rapids, then they had another in Cohasset, and then our Canadian counterparts have investigated accidents. And I think they didn't learn from some of those previous accidents. The one in 91, they had a large spill, and again, it went undetected. And they put in place then a procedure that said if you can't identify what the problem is within 10 minutes, you've got to shut the line down. They didn't even follow their own procedures during the spill that occurred in Marshall. And so that was a lesson that they should have learned from the past, to shut it down, and they didn't. I think there really are some challenges here. When they looked at their pipeline, they inspected the pipeline. 5 years before the accident, they knew that there was a crack in this section of the pipe. And a year before that, they had identified corrosion in the section of the pipe. They just didn't prioritize it. This rupture didn't need to happen.
Who's responsible for monitoring Enbridge?
Well, PHMSA is a federal regulator that is responsible for Enbridge, the Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. And we, in fact, also cited lax federal regulatory oversight in the probable cause of the accident. We believe that the standards should have been more stringent, and they should have taken a closer look at Enbridge and its plans and how they responded. One example of that is that they approved Enbridge's response plan, emergency response plan to a leak. And in that, you really have to assume what happens if we have the worst-case scenario. And in fact, in this situation, we did have pretty close to that. We had high water levels. And when they went to respond, the people from Marshall that worked for Enbridge, there were three employees, they didn't know what to do. They didn't stop the oil at its source. They went 17 miles downriver and placed boom instead of trying to stop it at its source before it spread. And then the contract support that they were supposed to have to assist them, their closest contract support was not even in the state of Michigan, was over 10 hours away. And the second contractor that they were going to use to respond to a spill was in Texas. The early hours after a spill are the most important. They needed to have local resources to help them.
It sounds like we need a monitor for the monitor.
Well, and in fact, that's what we asked the Department of Transportation to really evaluate PHMSA and determine if they had the resources to do what they needed to do and that if they were doing it. Because one of the things that we did identify is that compared to EPA and the Coast Guard, they only have one and a half full-time employees dedicated to spill response at Pipeline Hazardous Materials Safety Administration, whereas at those other agencies, they've got scores more, and they've only got 125 pipeline inspectors to inspect 2.5 million miles of pipeline across the United States. And so we really do have some challenges with respect to, do the regulators have the resources that they need to, and are they delegating too much authority to the people that are being regulated? And that was a concern that we had.
We're talking with Deborah Herzman, who's the chairman of the National Transportation Safety Board, here on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS, 1320WILS.com. Deborah, how do we know this isn't going to happen again?
Well, in fact, we saw another accident that took place around the same time out in California with Pacific Gas and Electric, and this was a natural gas rupture where eight people were killed and scores were injured and a neighborhood was destroyed. In that accident, we had real concerns about the corporate culture and the lack of oversight. We saw it again here in this accident. So I think that is a very good question, and one that we have said, if they don't heed some of these lessons that we've learned from these past accidents, the past will be repeated in the future, and they've got to make some changes and wake up.
Deborah, over the last year or so, we've talked with several different spokespersons and supervisors from Enbridge, and they've told us, when you consider all the pipelines that they own and operate, that their track record for safety is pretty good. Well, what do you think about that?
Well, I think if you look at what happened in Marshall, you would have to say their safety program didn't work. In fact, the cleanup is still ongoing. The rupture occurred 2 years ago, and it is the costliest, it's the most expensive cleanup effort in the United States for an onshore spill. It's over $800 million, and we're still counting. So I don't think that's effective.
Enbridge has announced plans to build another pipeline in Michigan. Do you think they should be allowed to do that?
Well, I think there are proposals there to replace the existing pipeline. And when we identified some concerns about 6B, this is an aging pipeline. It was installed in the 60s, and it had single tape coating that was degrading over time, and that resulted in some external corrosion. When they did that inspection in 2005, I mentioned where they saw this crack, they identified 15,000 defects in that line, and they actually excavated over 900 of them. They didn't excavate the one that was the problem here that ruptured. But that leads me to question, are there other cracks out there like this one? And so I think there does come a point where you have to say, can we repair the existing infrastructure, or do we just need to replace it? And I think it's important that when companies do recognize that they have aging equipment, infrastructure that needs excessive repair and is unreliable, that they do have the ability to replace it. That's important. Pipelines are a safer way to transport fuel than by truck or by train, because you think about the large quantities of fuel that are needed throughout the country, and if we were to move those onto trucks or to trains, that would pose a significant risk to the traveling public. And so we do recognize that there are some trade-offs, but it is important if they're going to replace line to do it in a way that makes sure that they're using the best safety equipment and the best technology to put new pipe in the ground that will last for decades.
Deborah, I know that the National Transportation Safety Board doesn't have the power to regulate pipeline companies, but you can get in the ear of lawmakers on the federal and state level. What would you tell them if you had the opportunity to have an audience with them?
You know, I think really the message is we investigate these accidents to learn the lessons, and I think you've got to learn the lessons well to make sure it doesn't happen again. And so I just want to make sure that they're familiar with our findings, and that they were able to influence the operators and the regulators to take the steps necessary to protect these communities that these pipelines are traveling through. And I think at the end of the day, that's what everyone wants, but it really is about raising the bar on the standards and on safety.
Deborah, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Thank you.